what's better than one great teacher, two great teachers? And we have them both in studio. We've had Robert Green here before. He's a teacher at Westmount High School. And we had Catherine Hogan here just last week. She's from Lindsay Place High School in Pointe Claire. She's the one who has that magnificent video. And I talk about it on my blog. You can check it out. It's cjd.com. And it really tells students that they're appreciated and liked. So we're going to, any questions you have about teachers, a good time to call 514-790-0991. Text your comment to 514-800. During the course of the next little while, we're going to talk about how teachers deal with budget cutbacks, what English schools can do to keep parents from sending their kids to French schools, how well is French being taught at the English schools, and what needs to happen to increase your child's love of school. Any other questions like that you have, your chance to speak to not one teacher, but two. You get a second opinion. You're listening to Tommy Schneermacher on CJAD. So let's start with the budget cuts, how they're having an effect on you, or are they, Robert?
Well, we haven't seen the cuts, like the effects of the cuts yet. We've been put on notice that they're coming. And our governing board at Westmount High, for example, has been asked to sort of identify areas that that we could do with less in. And this is the second year they've asked our governing board to do that. And I have to say, it's an incredible exercise in frustration. Because
aren't you awash in millions of dollars, awash in cash? And have everything? No.
Have you been in a Quebec public school recently, Tommy?
So I'm wondering, where do they expect you to cut?
That's exactly the question that our governing board threw back to them, is sort of, we're already cut to the bone. We're making do with computers that are sometimes 10, 15 years old. We are understaffed in terms of the support staff.
Are you serious about that? But the computers being 10, 15 years old?
Yes. We've
You've got the Texas instrument, the Tandy 99.
Maybe not that old, but okay. But we're going back to sort of pre-Windows XP.
Wow. Okay. What about you? Budget cuts?
How
do you feel about it?
Yeah, we're absolutely seeing the same thing. I would say technology-wise, we are dealing with the exact same problems that you are. We have ancient computers. They're always refurbished computers as well. So, you know, they've been passed off by another company and now they're finally coming to us. Again, I feel that we're cut to the core as well, and they're looking in maybe even areas that aren't even the areas that should be cut. I know at my school, they're looking right down to how many copies we're making per department, and trying to cut down our photocopies.
You're making photocopies for those kids, are you?
No.
Trying to educate those kids?
We're trying our best.
Nip that in the bud. It's appalling. It really is.
Well, and one thing I'd like to add to that is that while we're seeing all these cuts happening to the schools, it seems like every now and then we're still reading in the news about the leadership of our school board flying off to China for some kind of conference or another. So it seems like the cuts are coming down to the schools and are not hitting the bureaucracy, which is what I think the government had intended when they announced these cuts.
So China?
Yeah.
What are they doing in China?
Attending a conference.
Don't they care about the planet? Flying to China is a very bad idea.
Well, more to the point, don't they care about the schools that they're responsible for managing, that are currently underfunded?
What do you think is the solution if there's not enough funding? The two of you, what would you see as this solution? Catherine?
I think we have to look at each individual school and still look at the needs that every single individual school in this city still requires. I think that the English school boards are already taxed to the maximum, and yet they're still asking us to do more. We need more resources in the classroom. We need more resources to deal with the greater number of special needs students that we're having come in. I'm not sure that there's a solution that we can find at the school level. I really think it has to be at above the school level, because our schools are so in dire need still of all the resources that we have, and more. We need more.
If you had a wish list, what would be on that wish list?
Oh, higher technology, absolutely. To just get on board with where technology is in the real world outside of the schools, that would be the first. And then absolutely more resources for the classroom, more help with dealing with special needs students. I think teachers are feeling very overwhelmed with that task.
Absolutely. And I just to add to that, I think, you know, in terms of where there can be cutting, it's not in the schools that they need to be looking. It's within the bureaucracy, I think, that they need to be looking at least first. And then beyond that, I think, you know, we as a society need to have a serious discussion about the fact that education spending is not money that just goes up into the air. It's an investment in our collective future. And that by, you know, by investing in education, we are promoting our own democracy and our economic future.
Now, when it comes to the dropout rate, it's much worse in the French sector than the English sector. What solution would you have for your colleagues in the French system to deal with that high dropout rate?
I think a lot of it comes down to the actual everyday work in the classroom. I think it's going to be a commitment on teachers' parts to connect with their students, to make sure that they're engaged in what they're doing, to make sure, I think, that they see the benefits of education. I think that's really lacking in our society. We've downplayed the importance, I think, of education, and I think we really need the kids to know that this is a great key to your future. That's what's important. Stay in school, and you'll go far.
We're going to continue the discussion. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call, 514-790-0991. Star Talk, text your comment to 514-800. The time is 10:15.
Teacher, I need you.
Lots of texts coming in. This says, how do you expect our kids to want to stay in school and think it's important when our government would rather put money into making sure that there aren't English signs than put it into schools that are supposed to churn out our future? Another one says, yeah, it's easy as an adult to say stay in school. You forgot the main reason why people drop out, their peers. It's almost nothing to do with the money. If you could experience the cruelty of this generation firsthand, you would not want to waste a penny on your education. Why should I spend money to get tortured day after day by people whose minds are still stuck in high school? Wow.
Wow.
That
well,
makes me sad
very
to hear
sad.
That.
Wow. Yeah. There's someone who should not be in the teaching profession.
Well, I don't know if that's a teacher or a student.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about, I've asked every teacher who wanders in here about this question, and the reform.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's what it's called. The
yeah.
reform.
The reform.
Yeah. What exactly is it? And are you aware that in Sweden that came up with it, they looked at it, thought it was a bad idea, and said, don't use it?
Absolutely, we're aware of that. I think basically the main principle that goes behind the reform is the application of the knowledge. So they're supposed to have a knowledge base, but the students are supposed to then on their own know how to apply this knowledge into the real world. And so through that, they do a lot of group work, they do a lot of interactive work. But the concern I have is, okay, they can do the group work, they can collaborate together. Yes, we're preparing them for the world in that sense. But if there isn't a base of knowledge, what do they have to collaborate on?
Exactly.
First of all, yeah. Let me get to this collaboration. And I'm putting on the hat I wore when I was in high school, trying to get away with as much as I possibly could. So on the subjects that I liked, then I'd have fun in a group like that. On the subjects that, let's say there was a group work on a math project, I wouldn't do a thing.
Yep. The same is true today.
Oh.
Same
so the kids are smart enough to figure that out. Your take on that, Robert?
Yeah, I mean, the whole problem with the reform is that it's so focused on trying to get the kids to do learning activities which they deem authentic. So, for example, instead of working in English with a 5-paragraph essay that teaches you the structure of writing before you can do something more sophisticated, they're asking Sec 5 students to write an opinion column uh-huh. for their graduating exam. Now, that might sound more interesting for the kids, but the problem is they're being asked to do that without ever having been taught the 5-paragraph essay. So what we're seeing again and again with this reform is that what's missing is the basics, the foundations upon which these higher level learning skills are built. So math teachers in my school, for example, have been telling me how since this reform has come in, for the first time in grade 7, they're saying to their kids, okay, everybody take out your protractor. and having kids saying, "Sir, what's a protractor?" We have science.
At what level?
That's in grade 7. They're coming into high school not knowing what a protractor is. Mm-hmm. We have science teachers who are trying to teach these sort of elaborate hands-on units involving all this stuff, and the kids don't understand the metric system. Mm-hmm. So the ministry, I mean, I would characterize this reform not as a crisis, but as a slow simmering disaster, because these problems are out there. We as teachers have been complaining for years.
Now, wait a second. I figured it out. The two of you, you're right in the field. You're teachers. You figured it out. The people who came up with the idea, they figured it out. So what's happening? Why are we still...
I think the problem is they're saying that it's too early to tell. It's still too early to pass judgment on it. The students haven't been in the reform long enough.
They haven't damaged enough of the kids. Right.
But the preliminary results that came out last year showed that when they compared the pre-reform kids with the post-reform kids, the results were going down, not up. Now, they weren't major drops, but the concern is, like, for example, in math. In math, with the reform, they added 50 hours of instruction, and yet the results have gone down, not up. With that extra instruction, they should be going up.
Right. What about in English?
Same thing that we're finding. I know that you spoke about it earlier with the requirements for the provincial exam. So they're asking the students to write in a format with which they are unfamiliar. And again, they don't have the solid base of knowledge. And they don't have the solid base of knowledge because we don't have the time to put into the solid base of knowledge anymore, because they are requiring that we are doing so much hands-on learning, group activity work, making these authentic tasks. But where is the time then for the teacher to actually say, "Today we are going to learn some grammar structure"? That's the problem right there.
And they tell you you're not supposed to teach the grammar?
It's not that we're not supposed to, but it's the time allotment. We have to evaluate the three different competencies.
What about teaching them to write a sentence?
I think a lot of times it goes back year to year, all the way back to elementary school, where they're asking them to collaborate on the best way to form a sentence.
Who's collaborating on this?
The students themselves.
They just decide on their own how to make a sentence?
Again, it's
without the teacher telling them how it's done?
Right, because it's not teacher-centered anymore. Now it's student-centered learning that we need to focus on. But the problem is that eventually run out of time to be able to teach our language skills, our history skills, our math skills.
I'd like to see some of these elementary school sentences that these kids are putting together without benefit of the teacher.
It's frightening. I mean, my first year teaching, I had a grade 7 English class, and some of the writing that I came in, I had kids coming in that didn't, like, the basic rules of capitalization, mm-hmm. they weren't even capitalizing their own name. And I had to sit a kid down and say, "What message are you sending to the world when you write your own name and you don't even capitalize it?"
Well, maybe he's going to be a poet like E. Cummings.
Yes.
Maybe that's what it is. It's an artistic...
And I think if the extent to which the
this
results have not been worse is because I think if the teachers have been teaching the basics not because of the reform, but in spite of it,
mm-hmm.
that we've been basically
teaching the kids how to read and write.
I absolutely agree with you.
That's exactly
that's what's
it.
Happening.
Absolutely,
that's exactly.
I would agree with you.
Don't tell any of the bureaucrats. They're secretly teaching kids across the province to read and write. 5-1. Join the conversation as a parent, as a teacher, as a student. 514-790-0991. Start talk. Text your question or your comment. Wow. 2514-800. You're listening to Tommy Schnurmacher on CJAD. These poor kids in the clutches of the Quebec Education Department. Thank goodness the teachers are there to sneak in a little education against the wishes of the government. In studio with us, Catherine Hogan, a teacher at Lindsay Place High School in Pointe-Claire. Robert Green teaches at Westmount High School. We're talking about the reform. Now we finally found out what it is. I've been trying to find this out for several years now. Now we find out what it is. It's to prevent the kids from learning the basics, basically.
And there's actually another important question here. Where does it come from? Okay. And this is a key question, because this reform did not come, like, there weren't parents clamoring for this reform. Teachers were not clamoring for this reform. So then where did it come from? This was a harebrained scheme that the PQ came up with under Jacques Parizeau when Pauli Marois was Minister of Education. And these ideas were actually being promoted through sort of working groups in the OECD that were sort of run by multinational corporations. And so this is something that the PQ kind of latched onto. They thought it was sort of a new trend in education, mm-hmm. and then went whole hog with it, despite the fact that other countries who also experimented with it have sort of thrown it out by now. But the fact that this didn't come from teachers, didn't come from parents, really raises a very fundamental question about this reform.
And I noticed that I remember even a few years ago that it continues right to college. I had when Professor Graham DeCary was here at CJD, taught at Concordia, and he was telling me about his essays, and I thought he was exaggerating, and that can't be, till he showed me a few, and he showed me a 10-page essay with no periods and no paragraphing from somebody who had successfully gotten into Concordia University. In other words, gotten through all of elementary school and all of high school.
Yep. And I think people are asking, well, what are the teachers doing? And the thing is, the teachers are really working hard. Everybody's working hard to try to make this reform work. But again, we are, in a sense, we're sneaking in the knowledge wherever we can. You know, we're still trying to say, yes, there's value in reading this Shakespearean play simply because it's beautiful literature, and it's going to help you see and appreciate beautiful literature. But I feel that we're trying to sort of sneak that element in between, okay, I need to evaluate my three competencies, I need to evaluate my cross-curricular competencies, and it's really getting in the way of appreciating the knowledge.
Thank you very much. I can't believe we couldn't possibly get it all done in half an hour. We're going to have you come back another time. We're going to have a little teachers panel. They're both excellent. Catherine Hogan teaches at Lindsay Place High School. Robert Green is a teacher at Westmount High.